Appendix G, Integrating Processes Support to Planning. This appendix summarizes the integrating processes and identifies key inputs and outputs of each of these processes within the steps of the military decision-making process, MDMP. Integrating processes. The operations process, plan, prepare, execute, and assesses, is the overarching process commanders and staffs use for the exercise of command and control. Within the operations process, commanders and staffs use several integrating processes to develop situational understanding and to integrate the warfighting functions with each other and the concept of operations. An integrating process consists of a series of steps that incorporate multiple disciplines to achieve a specific end. Integrating processes begin in planning and continue during preparation and execution. Key integrating processes include Intelligence Preparation of the Operational Environment, IPO. See ATP 2-01.3 for more information on IPO. Information Collection. See FM 3-55 for more information on Information Collection. Targeting. See FM 3-60 for more information on Targeting. Risk Management. See ATP 5-19 for more information on Risk Management. Knowledge Management. See ATP 6-01.1 for more information on knowledge management. Intelligence Preparation of the Operational Environment. IPO is a collaborative, whole-staff effort led by the Assistant Chief of Staff, Intelligence, G2, or Battalion or Brigade Intelligence Staff Officer, S2. IPO products that are developed and continuously updated facilitate situational understanding and assist commanders and staffs in identifying relevant aspects within the assigned area and area of interest that can affect mission accomplishment. IPO is a key aspect of mission analysis, resulting in products that aid in developing friendly courses of action, COAs, and decision points. Additionally, the conclusions reached, information gaps identified, and products created during IPO are critical to planning information collection and targeting operations. A key aspect of IPO is refinement in preparation and execution. The four IPO steps are: Step 1, define the operational environment, OE. Step 2, describe environmental effects on operations. Step 3, evaluate the threat. Step 4, determine threat COAs. See ATP 2-01.3 for a detailed description to each step of IPO. Most IPO products are developed during Step 2, Mission Analysis, of the MDMP. These products are continually refined and are critical to shaping staff recommendations and commander decisions in Steps 3 through 7 of the MDMP. Define the operational environment. The Define the OE step of IPO begins upon receipt of mission and continues into Mission Analysis. This step assists commanders and staffs in identifying and defining relative aspects of an OE in time and space, including how the mission variables are relevant to the mission. During this step, the assigned area and area of interest are identified. The staff then identifies specific characteristics of the assigned area and area of interest for further analysis, including enemy, including identity, location, size, and disposition, terrain, including natural and man-made features, weather, including visibility, wind, precipitation, cloud cover, temperature, humidity, and space weather, civil considerations, areas, structures, capabilities, organizations, people, and events, informational considerations, as they relate to each of the previous mission variables. The Define the OE step also identifies what the staff does not know. The staff evaluates current operations and intelligence to determine additional information needed to complete IPO. This evaluation results in identified information gaps. Staff sections submit requests for information and collection to acquire necessary information. Describe the environmental effects on operations. During Step 2 of IPO, the intelligence staff describes how significant characteristics of the environment affect friendly operations. The intelligence staff also describes how terrain, weather, civil considerations, and friendly forces affect threat forces. This evaluation focuses on the general capabilities of each force until the development of threat COAs in Step 4 of IPO and development of friendly COAs later in the MDMP. The entire staff determines the effects of friendly and threat force actions on the population. Note: If the intelligence staff does not have the information required to form conclusions, it uses assumptions to fill information gaps. Always careful to ensure the commander understands when assumptions are used in place of facts to form conclusions. Key IPO products resulting from Step 2 include the Modified Combined Obstacle Overlay, MACU, and the Threat Overlay. The MACU is used to portray the militarily significant aspects of the OE, including avenues of approach, mobility corridors, obstacles, and key terrain. The threat overlay depicts the threat's current physical location in the assigned area and area of influence, including the threat's identity, size, location, and strength. Evaluate the threat. Step 3 of IPO occurs during mission analysis to determine threat force capabilities and the doctrinal principles and tactics, techniques, and procedures threat forces prefer or are likely to employ. Key products resulting from this step include threat models and threat templates. Threat models convert threat doctrine or patterns of operations to graphics. Describe the threat's preferred tactics and options. Identify high-value targets, HVTs, and identify enemy dispositions, compositions, and strengths. Threat templates portray how threat forces prefer to use their capabilities to accomplish their objectives. Threat templates include locations of threat units two echelons below the collecting unit, the distances and times between threat forces, and graphic control measures associated with threat operation, including unit frontages, unit depths, boundaries, engagement areas, and obstacles. Determine threat courses of action. Step 4 of IPO is conducted in mission analysis and refined during the remaining steps of the MDMP. Determining threat COAs is a two-step process. Developing a threat COA is based on the understanding of threat characteristics and understanding the effects of terrain, weather, and civil consideration on operations. A threat COA consists of the situation template and a threat COA statement. A situation template depicts a potential threat COA as part of a particular threat operation. The threat COA statement is a narrative that describes the situation template. The staff also identifies HVTs, targets the enemy commander requires for the successful completion of the mission, for each threat COA. The staff uses the HVT list developed for each threat COA to develop the HBTL during the COA development step of the MDMP. After identifying and developing as many potential threat COAs as time allows, the commander or the commander's designee selects the threat COAs that the staff will plan against. When lacking specific guidance, the staff commonly uses what the unit intelligence officer designates as the threat's most likely and most dangerous COAs. Since a threat COA is unknown, the intelligence staff develops information requirements and indicators to help determine the threat's actual COA. These information requirements, including priority intelligence requirements, PIRs, form the basis of the information collection plan. To help guide the development of the information collection plan, the intelligence staff develops event templates and event matrices. An event template is a graphic overlay used during the COA analysis step of the MDMP to confirm or deny threat COAs throughout wargaming. Additionally, an event template is used to develop the collection overlay or matrix and the decision support template DST during COA analysis. The event template is used during execution to assist in determining which COA the threat has adopted. An event template is accompanied by an event matrix. An event matrix is a cross-referenced description of the indicators and activity expected to occur in each named area of interest. Constructing an event matrix is an analytical process that involves associating named areas of interest, NAIs, and threat decision points identified on the event template. See ATP 2-01 for more information on event matrices. Staff input to intelligence preparation of the operational environment. IPO is far more effective when all staff sections participate with the intelligence staff. All staff sections provide their subject matter expertise in the development of IPO products and enhance the overall understanding of the OE. Time constraints often hinder full staff participation in key intelligence tasks like IPO. However, the lack of staff participation during initial IPO efforts may put a unit's mission at risk. For a detailed discussion on how each staff section supports IPO, see FM20 and ATP 2-01.3. Information collection. Information collection is a combined intelligence and operations activity focused on acquiring information on the threat, terrain, and civil considerations to facilitate understanding and decision-making. Information collection is directly linked to IPO and supports planning, targeting, risk management, and decision-making throughout the operations process. Information collection helps the commander understand and visualize the operation by aligning reconnaissance, surveillance, security, and intelligence assets to collect information on identified information gaps. It begins early in planning and continues throughout the operations process. Information collection consists of the following tasks. Collection management. Direct information collection. Execute collection. Conduct intelligence-related missions and operations. Collection management. Collection management involves analyzing information and collection requirements, evaluating available collection assets, both internal and external, recommending to the operations staff taskings for information collection assets, submitting requests for information for adjacent and higher echelon collection support, and assessing the effectiveness of the information collection plan. It is a coordinated staff effort led by the Assistant Chief of Staff, Intelligence, G2, or Battalion or Brigade Intelligence Staff Officer, S2. Key outputs of collection management include the Information Collection Matrix, Information Collection Synchronization Matrix, and Information Collection Overlay. Collection management tools address all assets the operations officer can task or request and the coordinating mechanisms needed to ensure adequate coverage of the area of interest. The operations officer uses these supporting tools during the direct information collection task to develop the information collection plan. See ATP 2-01 for more information on collection supporting tools. Direct information collection. The Assistant Chief of Staff, Operations, G3, or Battalion or Brigade Operations Staff Officer, S3, develops the information collection plan based on the analysis performed by the entire staff. Through analysis, the staff determines the best way to satisfy each requirement. The staff receives information collection tasks and requests for information from subordinate and adjacent units and higher echelon headquarters. The information collection plan aligns assets to collection tasks for the assets that the G3 or S3 can task or request. Additionally, the plan provides coordinating instructions to ensure adequate coverage in the area of interest. As the current tactical situation changes, staffs adjust the overall information collection plan to synchronize collection tasks. This optimizes collection and exploitation capabilities. The staff constantly updates requirements to ensure information collection efforts synchronize with current operations and support future operations planning. As collected information answers requirements, the staff updates the information collection plan. Execute collection. Collection activities often begin soon after receipt of mission and continue throughout preparation and execution of the operation. At the tactical level, reconnaissance, surveillance, security operations, and intelligence operations are the primary means by which a commander executes information collection to answer the commander's critical information requirements, CCIRs, and other information requirements. Reconnaissance produces information about the assigned area. Reconnaissance identifies terrain characteristics, enemy and friendly obstacles to movement, and the disposition of enemy forces and civilians so commanders can maneuver forces freely to gain and maintain the initiative. Successful units combine three methods to perform reconnaissance: dismounted, mounted, and aerial. All units and personnel conduct reconnaissance. However, units that are primarily tasked to conduct reconnaissance have tailored and specialized capabilities that include air cavalry and attack helicopter units, ground cavalry and scout units, chemical, biological, radiological, or nuclear seaburn reconnaissance elements, engineer reconnaissance team, and special operations forces. Surveillance involves observing an area to collect information. In observing a given area, the focus and tempo of the collection effort comes primarily from the commander's intent and guidance. Surveillance involves observing threat forces and the local population in an NAI or Target Area of Interest, TAI. Surveillance may be a standalone mission or part of a reconnaissance mission, particularly area reconnaissance. Surveillance is tiered and layered with technical assets that collect information. It is passive and continuous. Surveillance tasks can be performed by a variety of assets, including air, land, maritime, space, and cyberspace, means, including soldiers and systems, such as artillery and air defense radars, and mediums throughout the electromagnetic spectrum. Security operations are enabling operations that can occur during all operations. Commanders undertake these operations to provide early and accurate warning of enemy operations, to provide the force being protected with time and maneuver space to react to the enemy, and to develop the situation so commanders can favorably employ the protected force. Commanders may conduct security operations to the front, flanks, and rear of their forces, which may be moving or stationary. The ultimate goal is determining the enemy force's COA and assisting the main body in defeating enemy forces. The security force will have a mixture of reconnaissance and surveillance assets to accomplish its mission. Intelligence operations are the tasks undertaken by military intelligence units and soldiers to obtain information to satisfy validated requirements. Intelligence operations align intelligence assets and resources against requirements to collect information and intelligence to inform the commander's decisions. Through intelligence operations, military intelligence collection personnel and systems collect information about capabilities, activities, disposition, and all threat characteristics within an OE. Intelligence professionals follow the guidance outlined in the intelligence disciplines, such as signals intelligence and complementary intelligence capabilities, such as cyberspace-enabled intelligence, to ensure all tasks are accomplished successfully and in accordance with intelligence regulations and policies. See ADP-20 for a description of the intelligence disciplines and complementary intelligence capabilities. Military intelligence collection personnel are trained and certified. Military intelligence sensors operated by military intelligence personnel can be directed to collect information. The military intelligence collection capabilities are distinct from other Army information collection capabilities, such as reconnaissance or surveillance. The distinction is required because intelligence collection must comply with all applicable United States laws and policies. Conduct intelligence-related missions and operations. Conducting normal day-to-day intelligence tasks, for example, intelligence support to personnel recovery, facilitates the conduct of reconnaissance and surveillance. These tasks also include specialized missions, such as exploitation of a site, that provide intelligence and information outside the traditional information collection construct. The conduct intelligence-related missions and operations tasks are: establish a mission intelligence briefing and debriefing program. Support site exploitation. Conduct explosive ordnance disposal support. Provide intelligence support to personnel recovery. Information collection planning. Collection management and direct information collection tasks are associated with information collection planning. These tasks are a key part of the MDMP that results in an information collection plan, NXL, to an operation plan, OPLAN, or operation order, OPORD. This section describes developing the information collection plan within the steps of the MDMP. Receipt of mission. During the receipt of mission step, the staff gathers tools needed for the MDMP, updates its running estimates, and performs an initial assessment of the time available. Since information and intelligence are required early to inform planning, commanders may initiate information collection shortly after receipt of mission and before mission analysis is complete. Based on the commander's guidance, initial information collection tasks may be included in the first warning order, WARNORD, to subordinate units. Mission analysis. Several subtasks of mission analysis are directly related to information collection planning. Analyze the higher headquarters order. The staff analyzes the higher echelon headquarters order to identify information collection tasks and constraints, such as limits of reconnaissance. The higher order also contains details on the availability of information collection assets from higher echelons and any allocation of those assets to the unit. Perform intelligence preparation of the operational environment. IPO is an important prerequisite to information collection planning. During IPO, staffs develop several key products that aid information collection planning. One of the most useful products is the event template and associated matrix. Once developed, the event template helps develop the information collection plan. Likely threat locations, avenues of approach, infiltration routes, support areas, and areas of activity become NAIs or TAIs where collection assets focus their collection efforts. Determine specified, implied, and essential tasks. The staff also identifies specified, implied, and essential information collection tasks. Specified tasks are directed towards subordinate units, systems, sensors, and soldiers. Implied tasks determine how a system or sensor is initialized for collection. Essential information collection tasks are derived from specified and implied tasks. These tasks are the focus of the information collection effort. Review available assets. The staff reviews all available collection assets and creates an inventory of capabilities to apply against collection requirements. Building the inventory of assets and resources begins with Annex A, Task Organization, of the Higher Echelon Headquarters Order. Staffs evaluate the availability of collection assets and know the collectors and processors available at their own echelon and echelons above and below them. Determine constraints. When determining constraints, the staff considers legal, political, operational, and rules of engagement constraints that might constrain reconnaissance, security, intelligence operations, and surveillance. The staff must consider planning constraints, such as limits of reconnaissance, earliest time information is of value, and not earlier than times. In some cases, the commander may impose constraints on using certain collection assets. In other cases, system constraints, such as the weather, crew rest, or maintenance cycle limitations, may impose limits the staff must consider. Identify critical facts and assumptions. When staffs identify critical facts and assumptions, they identify critical facts and assumptions pertinent to information collection planning that they will use later in COA development. For example, a critical fact might be that imagery requests may take 72 to 96 hours to fulfill, or that the human intelligence effort requires significant time before a good source network is fully developed. Developing assumptions for planning includes the availability and responsiveness of organic assets and resources from higher echelons. For example, the staff might use a certain percentage, representing hours, of unmanned aircraft system support available per day, weather, and maintenance permitting. Perform risk assessment. When performing a risk assessment, the staff considers the asset's effectiveness versus the protection requirements and risk to the asset. For example, placing a sensor forward enough on the battlefield that it can return valuable data and information may put the asset at high risk of being compromised, captured, or destroyed. The calculus of payoff versus loss will be determined by mission variables and the commander's decision. Determine initial CCIRs and EEFIs. Determining initial CCIRs and essential elements of friendly information, EEFIs, is the most important prerequisite for information collection planning. The staff nominates information requirements to the commander that become CCIRs and EEFIs. Commanders alone decide what information is critical based on their experience, the mission, the higher echelon commander's intent, and input from the staff. The CCIRs are the primary focus for information collection activities. Develop the initial information collection plan. The initial information collection plan is crucial to begin or adjust the collection effort to help answer information requirements necessary to develop effective plans. The initial information collection plan sets information collection in motion. Staffs may issue it as part of a WARN ORD, a Fragmentary Order, FRAG ORD, or an OP ORD. As more information becomes available, staffs incorporate it into a complete information plan to the OP ORD. At this point in the MDMP, the initial information plan is somewhat generic because the staff members must still develop friendly COAs. The basis for the plan is the commander's initial information collection guidance, the primary information gaps identified by the staff during mission analysis, and the enemy situational template developed during IPO. The intelligence staff creates the collection management tools, including the information collection matrix, information collection synchronization matrix, and information collection overlay for the information collection plan. The operations staff is responsible for the information collection plan. In developing the plan, the operations staff considers requirements for collection assets in subsequent missions, the time available to develop and refine the initial information collection plan, the risk the commander is willing to accept if information collection missions begin before the information collection plan is fully integrated into the scheme of maneuver, insertion and extraction methods for reconnaissance, security, surveillance, and intelligence units, contingencies for inclement weather to ensure coverage of key NAIs or TAIs, the communications plan for transmission of reports from assets to tactical command posts, CPs, the inclusion of collection asset locations and movements into the fire support plan, the reconnaissance handover with higher or subordinate echelons, the sustainment support, legal support requirements. Issue warning order. Upon completion of the mission analysis brief and the issuance of commander's planning guidance, the staff issues the second warn-ord. This warn-ord includes the initial information collection plan, which may be an annex to the warn-ord. Course of action development. The operations and intelligence staffs collaborate to develop a scheme of information collection for each friendly COA. The scheme of information collection describes how the commander intends to use reconnaissance and surveillance in support of the concept of operations. It includes primary reconnaissance objectives. The scheme of information collection is developed in detail during COA analysis, wargaming, course of action analysis, wargaming, comparison, and decision. The action, reaction, counteraction process within COA analysis is extremely helpful in fully developing and synchronizing the information collection plan with the scheme of maneuver and scheme of fires. The results of COA analysis are briefed to the commander as part of the COA decision brief. Commanders decide on the friendly COA and issue final planning guidance, including information collection guidance, for development of the O plan or op ord. Orders production, dissemination, and transition. The staff prepares the order by turning the selected COA into a clear, concise concept of operations and supporting information. A scheme of information collection is addressed in paragraph 3, execution, to the base order. Specific reconnaissance, surveillance, and security tasks are addressed in tasks to subordinate units. Details of the unit's information collection effort are located in Annex L, information collection, to the O plan or op ord. Targeting. A target is an entity or object that performs a function for the threat considered for possible engagement or other action, JP3-60. Targets include a wide array of mobile and stationary forces, equipment, and capabilities that a threat can use to conduct operations. A target's importance is determined by its potential contribution to achieving a commander's objectives or otherwise accomplishing assigned tasks. Targets are continuously refined or adjusted as an operation unfolds. Targeting is the process of selecting and prioritizing targets and matching the appropriate response to them, considering operational requirements and capabilities, JP3O. It is an integral part of the operations process that organizes the efforts of the commander and staff to integrate and synchronize fires in operations. Targeting seeks to create specific desired effects through lethal and non-lethal actions. There are four functions associated with the Army's targeting process. They are: decide, detect, deliver, assess. This methodology, also known as D3A, facilitates engagement of the right target at the right time with the most appropriate assets to meet the commander's targeting guidance. It optimizes integration and synchronization of maneuver, fire support, intelligence, command and control, and information-related capabilities from battalion through corps echelon operations. The Chief of Staff or Executive Officer, XO, normally leads the targeting team. Fire Support, G2 or S2, G3 or S3, and Air Force representatives form its core. Other coordinating and special staffs participate as required. Examples of these representatives include the Information Operations Officer, Chief of Protection, the Cyber Electromagnetic Warfare Officer, the Military Information Support Operations Officer, the Civil Affairs Officer, the Public Affairs Officer, and the Staff Judge Advocate. The targeting process is cyclical. The unit's battle rhythm determines when the targeting team meets. Targeting begins in planning and continues throughout the operations process. The decide function occurs concurrently with planning. The detect function occurs during preparation and execution. The deliver function occurs primarily during execution, although some targets may be engaged while the command is planning or preparing for the overall operation. The assess function occurs throughout the operations process, but it is most intense during execution. See FM60 for further discussion on battle rhythm. Decide. Decide is part of the planning activity of the operations process. It occurs concurrently with the MDMP. During the decide function, the targeting team focuses and sets priorities for information collection and attack planning. Based on the commander's intent and concept of operations, The targeting team establishes targeting priorities for each phase or critical event of an operation. The following products reflect these priorities. High Payoff Target List, HPTL. The HPTL is a prioritized list of targets whose loss to the threat will significantly contribute to the success of the friendly COA. Information Collection Plan. The plan to synchronize the entire collection effort, including all assets the commander controls, assets of lateral units, and higher echelon units and organizations to answer the CCIRs. Target Selection Standards. Target selection standards establish criteria for deciding when targets are located accurately enough to attack. Attack Guidance Matrix, AGM. The AGM lists which targets or target sets to attack, how and when to attack them, and the desired effects. Target Synchronization Matrix. The Target Synchronization Matrix combines data from the HPTL Information Collection Plan and AGM. It lists high payoff targets, HPTs, by category, and the agencies responsible for detecting them, attacking them, and assessing the effects of the attacks. The targeting team develops these products throughout the MDMP. As the MDMP is conducted, targeting becomes more focused based on the commander's guidance and intent. The commander approves targets during the COA approval. Receipt of mission and mission analysis. The major targeting-related products of mission analysis are HVTs, targets the enemy requires for the successful completion of the mission, and the commander's targeting guidance. HVTs are identified during IPO. IPO includes preparing threat models that portray adversary forces and assets unconstrained by the environment. The G2 or S2 adjusts threat models based on terrain and weather to create situational templates that portray possible adversary COAs. A complete threat model identifies HVTs, and the situation template predicts the location of the HVT assets that the threat commander requires for the successful completion of a specific COA. The process that identifies HVTs is target value analysis. The targeting team performs target value analysis for each enemy COA. The initial target value analysis sources are target spreadsheets and target sheets. Target spreadsheets. Target spreadsheets identify target sets associated with adversary functions that could interfere with each friendly COA or that are key to adversary success. The fire support element usually prepares them. Target sheets. A target sheet contains the information required to engage a target. It is a locally produced product. Target sheets state how attacking the target will affect the adversary operation. Targeting guidance. The commander's guidance, issued at the end of mission analysis, includes targeting guidance. Targeting guidance describes the desired lethal and non-lethal effects. Targeting guidance focuses on essential adversary capabilities and functions, such as the ability to exercise command and control of forward units, mass artillery fires, or, in stability operations, form a hostile crowd. Capabilities associated with one desired effect may also contribute to other desired effects. For example, delay can result from disrupting, diverting, or destroying enemy capabilities on targets. Terms that are used to describe effects include deceive, defeat, degrade, delay, deny, destroy, destruct, disrupt, divert, exploit, interdict, neutralize, suppress. See FM3-60 for a complete discussion of these effects. The commander can also provide restrictions as part of his targeting guidance. Depending on the situation, the commander may place targets on a no-strike or restricted target list. A no-strike list consists of objects or entities protected by law of armed conflict, international laws, rules of engagement, other considerations. A restricted target list contains valid targets with specific restrictions. A restriction may be collateral damage limitations, selected ammo preservation for final protective fires, prohibitions on daytime strikes, weapons selection criteria, attack avoidance due to proximity to protected facilities and locations. Course of action development. During COA development, the staff prepares feasible COAs that integrate the effects of all dynamics of combat power to accomplish the mission. The targeting team identifies which HVTs are potential HPTs for each COA. It coordinates and deconflicts targets and establishes assessment criteria. Course of action analysis. COA analysis is a disciplined process that staffs use to visualize the flow of a battle. During a war game, the staff decides or determines which HVTs are HPTs for each COA. When listed in priority, the HPTs for the approved COA compose the HPTL. When to engage each HPT. Which system to use against each HPT. The desired effects of each attack, expressed in terms of the targeting objectives. Which HPTs require battle damage assessment? Which HPTs require special instructions or require coordination? Based on the war game, the targeting team produces draft targeting products. The products for each COA include HPTL, Target Selection Standards, AGM. HPTL. The HPTL is a prioritized list of HPTs. A high payoff target is a target whose loss to the enemy will contribute to the success of the friendly course of action, JP3-60. During the war game, the staff determines which HVTs are HPTs for each COA. HPTs are critical to both the adversary's needs and the friendly concept of operations. They support achieving the commander's intent and executing the concept of operations. They are determined based on the commander's targeting guidance. Target selection standards. Target selection standards are criteria applied to adversary activity, acquisitions, or combat information to decide whether the activity can be engaged as a target. Target selection standards are usually disseminated as a matrix that includes HPT. This refers to the designated HPTs that the collection manager is tasked to acquire. Timeliness. Valid targets are reported to attack systems within the designated timeliness criteria. Accuracy. Valid targets must be reported to the attack system meeting the required target location error criteria. The criterion is the least restrictive target location error considering the capabilities of available attack systems. Military intelligence analysts use target selection standards to determine targets from combat information and pass them to fire support elements for attack. Attack systems managers, such as fire control elements and fire direction centers, use target selection standards to determine whether to attack a potential target. Attack guidance matrix. The targeting team recommends attack guidance based on the results of the war game. Attack guidance is normally disseminated as an AGM. An AGM includes the following information listed by target set or HPT. Timing of attacks, expressed as immediate, planned, or as acquired. Attack systems assigned. Attack criteria, expressed as neutralize, suppress, harass, or destroy. Restrictions or special instructions. Only one AGM is produced for execution at any point in the operation. However, each phase of the operation may have its own matrix. To synchronize lethal and non-lethal effects, all lethal and non-lethal attack systems, including psychological operations and electromagnetic attack, are placed on the AGM. The AGM is a synchronization and integration tool. It is normally included as part of the Fires Annex. However, it is not a tasking document. Attack tasks for unit assets are identified as taskings to subordinate units and agencies in the body or appropriate annexes or appendices of the O-Plan or O-Board. Target synchronization matrix. The target synchronization matrix lists HPTs by category and the agencies responsible for detecting them, attacking them, and assessing the effects of the attacks. It combines data from the HPTL, Intelligence Collection Plan, and AGM. A completed target synchronization matrix allows the targeting team to verify that assets have been assigned to each target. The targeting team may prepare a target synchronization matrix for each COA, or it may use the HPTL, target selection standards, and AGM for the war game and prepare a target synchronization matrix for only the approved COA. COA comparison, COA approval, and orders production, dissemination, and approval. After war gaming all COAs, the staff compares them and recommends one to the commander for approval. When the commander approves a COA, the targeting products for that COA become the basis for targeting for the operation. The targeting team meets to finalize the HPTL, target selection standards, AGM, and input to the intelligence collection plan. The team also performs any additional coordination required. After accomplishing these tasks, targeting team members ensure that targeting factors that fall within their functional areas are placed in the appropriate part of the plan or order. Detect. The detect function involves locating HPTs accurately enough to engage them. It primarily entails execution of the information collection plan. The information collection plan focuses on identifying HPTs and answering PIRs. These are prioritized based on the importance of the target or information to the concept of operations and commander's intent. Thus, there is some overlap between the detect and assess functions. Detecting targets for non-lethal attacks may require intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance support from higher headquarters. The targeting team adjusts the HPTL and AGM to meet changes as the situation develops. Deliver. The deliver function involves engaging targets located with the target selection standards according to the guidance in the AGM. HPTs that are located within the target selection standards are tracked and engaged at the time designated in the order or the AGM. Other collection assets look at HPTs that are not located accurately enough or for targets within priority target sets. When one of these is located within the target selection standards, its location is sent to the system that the AGM assigns to attack it. Not all HPTs will be identified accurately enough before execution. Some target sets may not have very many targets identified. Collection assets and the intelligence system develop information that locates or describes potential targets accurately enough to engage them. The HPTL sets the priority in which they accomplish this task. Assess. In large-scale combat operations, the effectiveness of targeting is determined through combat assessment. Combat assessment is the determination of the overall effectiveness of force employment during military operations, JP3-60. Combat assessment is composed of three major components: battle damage assessment, munitions effectiveness assessment, re-attack recommendations. Battle damage assessment. Battle damage assessment provides an estimate of the damage or effect created on a target, and it includes an assessment of both lethal and non-lethal engagements. Effective battle damage assessment requires a coordinated effort between the intelligence cell and other members of the targeting team. Munitions effectiveness assessment. Munitions effectiveness assessment is conducted concurrently with battle damage assessment. It provides an assessment of the effects created in terms of the weapon system and effectiveness of the munitions used to attack a target. A munitions effectiveness assessment may result in changes to the AGM or target selection standards. Re-attack recommendations. Based on the battle damage assessment and munitions effectiveness assessment analysis, the intelligence officer, in conjunction with the targeting team, considers the level to which targeting objectives have been achieved and makes recommendations to the commander. Failure to achieve battle damage assessment or failure to achieve necessary effects as determined by battle damage assessment may result in a re-attack recommendation. See FM3-60 for more information on targeting. Risk management. The exposure of someone or something valued to danger, harm, or loss is inherent in all military operations. Because accomplishment of a mission is the priority, risk cannot be totally avoided. Identifying, mitigating, and accepting risk is a function of command and a key consideration during planning and execution. Effective risk management during operations depends on full integration into the MDMP and the overall operations process. It is not a standalone process. Commanders and staffs use risk management throughout the operations process to identify and mitigate risks associated with hazards, including ethical risks and moral hazards, that have the potential to cause friendly and civilian casualties, damage or destroy equipment, or otherwise impact mission effectiveness. Like targeting, risk management begins in planning and continues through preparation and execution. Risk management consists of these steps: identify hazards, assess hazards, develop controls and make risk decisions, implement controls, supervise, and evaluate. Commanders and staffs apply each of the five steps of risk management into operational planning. Each of the five steps of risk management tends to require emphasis at different times during the MDMP. The steps of risk management are dynamic and cyclical. Risk management is an adaptable, integrating process. Army planners use risk management to identify, assess, and control hazards, reducing their effect on operations and readiness. Commanders and staffs normally identify hazards in each sequential step of the MDMP. They determine existing and potential hazards through the steps of mission receipt, mission analysis, COA development, and COA analysis. During orders production, preparers clearly describe significant hazards in the published orders so they are documented and friendly forces can precisely understand them. Results of risk assessments, including residual levels of risk and controls selected for mitigating hazards, may be included with the orders. Commanders and staffs develop controls and make risk decisions during COA development, COA analysis, COA comparison, and COA approval. Staffs implement risk management controls during the last step of the MDMP. This step includes orders production, dissemination, and transition. Army leaders continuously assess the effectiveness of controls and the risks of unexpected situations or events. They adjust operations as necessary to remain within acceptable risk. When risk to the mission or force can no longer be mitigated by the unit, commanders should discuss risk with higher echelon headquarters to gain assistance in mitigating risk. All staff elements incorporate risk assessments and recommended mitigations into their running estimates. The operations officer coordinates risk management throughout the operations process. Units also develop contingency plans to account for different outcomes based on identified or known high-risk operations. See ATP 5-19 for a detailed discussion of the risk management process. Knowledge management. Knowledge management is the process of enabling knowledge flow to enhance shared understanding, learning, and decision-making. ADP 6.0. The purpose of knowledge management is to align people, processes, and tools within the organizational structure and culture to achieve shared understanding. This alignment improves collaboration and interaction between leaders and subordinates and information sharing with subordinate units, higher echelon headquarters, and unified action partners. Led by the Chief of Staff or XO and Knowledge Management Officer, knowledge management facilitates the transfer of knowledge among commanders, staffs, and forces to build and maintain situational understanding during the MDMP and throughout the operations process. Commanders and staffs employ knowledge management techniques to add clarity to information, speed its dissemination, and support situational understanding and decision-making. The five steps of knowledge management are: assess, design, develop, pilot, implement. The assess, design, and develop steps occur in planning. The pilot and implement steps occur during preparation and execution. See ATP 6-01.1 for details on each step. Rarely does a unit start from scratch in developing its knowledge management plan. The unit's Knowledge Management Standard Operating Procedure, SOP, is the base document the unit adjusts from upon receipt of a new mission. All staff sections designate knowledge management representatives that together form the Knowledge Management Working Group. Led by the Knowledge Management Officer, the Knowledge Management Working Group participates in the MDMP and adjusts the knowledge management plan based on the new mission. This may include changes in reporting requirements, the unit's battle rhythm, and ways to display the unit's common operational picture. Knowledge management leads to better decisions and increases flexibility, integration, and synchronization. Sound knowledge management practices include collaboration among personnel at different locations and rapid knowledge transfer between units and individuals. When properly implemented, knowledge management improves staff coordination throughout the MDMP, enhances the other integrating processes, and provides commanders with the right information necessary to make timely and effective decisions. The primary knowledge management output from the MDMP is the Knowledge Management Annex to the O-Plan or OPORD. All personnel must know and understand their roles and the roles of other staff sections for conducting the integrating processes. To be effective in integrating processes, staff members must be both actively engaged and proactive. They must not automatically assume that another staff section is solely responsible for a function. For example, the intelligence staff is not the only staff section responsible for IPO input, and nearly everyone with access to government end-user applications plays a role in knowledge management. As with other staff products and processes, formats and techniques vary from one organization to another. Ultimately, staffs must determine how best to integrate these and other processes based on the situation, mission, and commander's intent. The staff must also understand the commander's desired end state and focus their efforts to achieve it. changes in mission, directives from higher headquarters, changes in the enemy's COA, or a variety of other factors may restart or significantly modify the planning process and integrating processes. Staffs must be adaptive and able to plan for new requirements on short notice. FM 50, 4 November 2024, by order of the Secretary of the Army, Randy A. George, General, United States Army Chief of Staff. Official. Signed, Mark F. Averill, Administrative Assistant to the Secretary of the Army.